In complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. May he open up to us aright the sacred truth of his holy word. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. Luke chapter 5, verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The words of Jesus. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear friends, there really can be nothing more clear than this. Why Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, condescended to dwell upon this earth. He came to call sinners to repentance. Who are sinners? A sin is defined as transgression against the law or the commandments of God. A sinner, dear friends, is one who has broken just one commandment of the holy law of God. If there were any righteous in the sight of God upon this earth, then there would have been no purpose for Jesus to come. But because there are none righteous, as the scripture says, God looks down from heaven to behold all the children of men. And there's none that doeth good. No, not one. They've all become filthy. Filthy in the sight of a holy God. Dear friends, that's you and that's me this morning. But we have to be taught. We have to be taught that this is the truth concerning us. We're living in a day, aren't we, when there's much spoken of human rights. And multitudes live their lives seeking their rights to be given to them. That they can live peacefully and contentedly in the enjoyment of these rights. But, dear friends, they are ignorant, left to nature, of the unrighteousness before a holy God within them. They are sinners in God's sight. And that contentment and that happiness, as we might say, of all seeming to be well, is only for a time. It's not for eternity. There are those, and we read of them in Scripture, who will go about to establish a righteousness which is of their own selves, living uprightly, morally, even seeking to do all that the law of God revealed to Moses demands. And in living to fulfill their own righteousness, they're content. They are thankful to God that they are not as other people are. That they judge others, that they are better than those who they call sinners. But they are ignorant of their own. As the Apostle Paul speaks of those of Israel, they go about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Dear friends, that's what we all need, isn't it? Be turned about from our own righteousness, an earthly righteousness. I don't say we shouldn't endeavour to do the law, of course we should. The Ten Commandments are given there for our guide, to live in peace upon this earth and do that which is right in the sight of God. But how far short we come. We cannot claim a righteousness acceptable to a holy God to be received in the day of judgment for an eternal heavenly place. Dear friends, sin is the most solemn thing upon this earth, isn't it? When God created the heavens and the earth, He saw that it was good. But the spirit of evil came in. Eve and Adam were deceived. They were beguiled to break that one commandment, not to eat of the tree of the fruit in the garden of good and evil. Until then they only knew good. By breaking the commandment they would know evil as well. And Satan persuaded them that that was a lie. Oh, the father of lies. And so they sinned. And death, the consequence of sin, as God said, came upon this earth. And the curse of God was upon this earth. And so, on the foundation, through sin, we suffer. And in due time, we shall die. We shall die in the flesh. And then, through the judgment, on account of our sin, oh, there's the second death. When we are cast into hell with the devil and his angels. Dear friends, we are very solemn creatures, aren't we, in our nature? No matter what we may think of ourselves. The first offspring of Adam and Eve was Cain. And Cain brought a sacrifice before God, because he was a tiller of the ground. He brought of his own labours. Through the sweat of thy face was given to Adam, and he passed on to Cain. Through the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And Cain brought of the fruit of his own labours, even though it was the gift of God. Abel, his brother, brought a sacrifice, the shedding of blood of the lamb. And that was more acceptable to God. Or we testified of the sacrifice for sin through the seed of the woman, which was promised for the putting away of the power of sin. But Cain's heart was affected by sin. You know, in Genesis chapter 4, I think it is, verse 7, right at the beginning, the very first word when sin appears in the scriptures. It's in the context which God says, sin lieth at the door. Sin, if thou doest not well, Cain, sin lieth at the door. And he did not do well, did he? Envy, jealousy, that Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable to God. And so he rose up and killed his brother. Murder. Sin lieth at the door. What does that mean? Dear friends, we're all born in the image of Adam, sinners. And in our nature, in our own hearts, sin lies at the door. Whatever comes from our hearts' desires, which affect our thoughts, affect our words, and affect our deeds, sin lieth at the door. And it affects everything we think of. Affects our words, affects our deeds. As we enter into anything of action or thoughts, whatever, it's affected by sin. And dear friends, we cannot cleanse ourselves from it. It's in a different context, really. But you know, some years ago, when there was foot and mouth disease on the farms of cattle, at the entrance of every farm, there was disinfectant put down. And everyone entering that farm, passing through the gateway, it got disinfected. The effect of that disinfectant was upon their feet, upon their walk. You know, it's like that with sin. As we enter into anything of this life, of our own being and all that concerns us, at that gate which we pass through and enter into all things that concern us in our lives, we are tainted with sin. Nothing is pure. Nothing is perfect. It clings to us. And we are born then for trouble as the sparks fly upward. Dear friends, these things should affect our hearts and our minds continually. But do they? Our hearts, where sin lieth at the door, are deceitful, and they're desperately wicked. We cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin. Therefore, we cannot, by any means, give ourselves a hope of eternal life. And dear friends, we do not know the length of our days. We do not know when we shall take our last breath. And dear friends, in the grave there's no further experience of any hope of repentance, of any turning about from our own selves to trust in the Lord and upon Christ Jesus. It's a vital need, isn't it, this side of the grave, to know our sins forgiven, the power of sin within us to be subdued, to be overcome. And there's only one way that that can be done, and that is through believing views, believing faith in Christ Jesus, who came without sin, holy, pure, undefiled, the Son of God. He was tempted, yes, in all points as we are tempted, and through which we sin. But he was without sin. And as the sinless Son of God, He gave himself, his life, to die as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. He said that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He came to save his people from their sins. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The Saviour of sinners. Well, dear friends, that way of the truth and life is found in the holy word of God and the proclamation of the gospel. It's declared, isn't it? Week by week, and more often than that, from the pulpits of the chapels and churches. How do we hear it? What effect does it have upon us? Sin has effect upon us every day, every hour, we might say, of the day. For that which is not of faith, the scripture says, is sin. Oh, how far short we've come of the glory of God. Do we hear? Do we hear the truth as it is in Jesus? Does that have an effect upon our hearts? You know, the word of the Lord to Judah was very solemn through the prophets when they were in the ways of rebellion to his word and unbelief. God said, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way. Now repentance is returning, turning about the opposite direction from which you've been going in. Turning about from the ways of sin, although we cannot deliver ourselves from it, but turning about to look to the Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. And not just to enjoy and be satisfied with the ways of sin. Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. You might say, well, I don't serve other gods. Dear friends, you have idols. Covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness for earthly things, as we all have in our hearts, the effect of sinfulness. Oh, we make gods, we're perhaps not aware of them. We say, oh, we cannot live without this, I must have this, I must have that. And we cling and cleave to them. They may be good for this earthly life, but they're vanities when we think of eternity and the need of our soul. Go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. These people heard the prophecy of Jeremiah. They heard the prophecy of Isaiah. They heard the prophecy of the minor prophets, as we call them, and of Ezekiel and so on. But ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. What a solemn state. Dear friends, this causes us to search our hearts, doesn't it? Have we heard the truth as it is in Jesus to any saving effect within our hearts? Oh, the Apostle Paul, when he was preaching, he preached to the Corinthians, he wrote to the Corinthians. I think it's in his second epistle to that church at Corinth. at the end of chapter 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. What had Paul been preaching? He'd been preaching Christ and him crucified. He'd been preaching Christ, the risen Saviour. He was preaching Christ, the ascended Saviour, now back with the Father, having fulfilled the work the Father gave him to do. That there is now a way made whereby sinners such as you and me can have hope of eternal life. Dear friends, is that not why we've come to the house of God this morning? Is that not why we are found here? To hear the truth as it is in Jesus, and for it to have an effect upon our hearts. Has it been our prayer this morning, before we've come? Lord, may I hear thy voice. Be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Dear friends, what is our purpose of coming to the house of God, to a place of worship, before the holy word of God which we've read? Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. Do you feel righteous? But sinners to repentance. To change your natural view of all things upon this earth as we have, as we grow up through our childhood and youth, to view things through Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners such as we. To know our Jesus crucified within us, to be given that faith to believe, to look unto him who hath promised, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, dear friends, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which we particularly think of as we come into this time of year. How ready was Jesus to die, that we guilty sinners might live? Dear friends, we need the power of this truth within us, by the Holy Ghost, that the gospel is not in word only, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Jesus says, ye that have ears to hear, let them hear, let him hear. Have you heard? Have you heard what a dreadful sinner you are in the sight of God? Have you heard what this glorious salvation, that means being saved from God's wrath to come? Have you heard of this salvation through Jesus Christ, who poured out his soul unto death? That's where our sin is, isn't it? Oh, sin lieth at the door of our heart and in our soul. And the effect of sin makes us guilty. Our souls are filthy, are black in the sight of God, and can only be worthy to cast into hell. But the cleansing flood of the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, through which there is remission of sins, that can make that filthy soul clean, pure, holy, undefiled, made like unto Christ himself. Oh, no wonder that cry was there in the temple by the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Comes to my mind of that lovely word in Joel. We don't often read some of the minor prophets, and we shouldn't we? in that prophecy of Joel, I think it's in chapter 2. If my eye can just drop upon it. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. You see, dear friends, where the truth, as it is in Jesus, the truth of that salvation applied to our heart, and it comes in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, we are convicted of our sins. And that will give us a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh, there's no hope for me in for eternity. I've come far short. And I cannot do anything but add sin to my sin. Turn unto me with fasting, with weeping and with mourning. That means with prayer. And rend your heart, a broken heart. And not your garments. Turn unto the Lord, your God. Your God, but you're such a sinner. Ah, but now you've been taught of your sin. You've known this call to repentance. You know this power of God in the power of the Spirit. It's affected your heart. It was dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, Satan was ruling there. Oh, but now you've been quickened. You've been made alive to the knowledge of this sinfulness. And it makes you mourn, it makes you grieve, it rends your heart. You weep before the Lord. You confess those sins. You turn unto the Lord, your God. Oh, what a mercy. What a mercy when we know our need given to us of our pardon through Christ Jesus. The gift of God, the unspeakable gift for the salvation of our soul. And turn unto the Lord your God. Why? For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Turns about from that which you deserve, his wrath, his judgment, his condemnation. He turns about from it for a guilty sinner. With that broken heart. Oh, he's trembling at the word of God. Trembling at the judgment of God. The curse of God. But in turning unto him, the Lord looks in mercy. Oh, in pardoning love. You're his. And you're loved with an everlasting love. And it's with loving kindness he's drawn you. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Oh, this truth, as it is in Jesus, to be revealed in the hearts of sinners. Repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? A blessing. You know, dear friends, that's why Christ came as man. That glorious work, which is through our repentance, turning about from our sinful state into one where he has all the honour and all the glory and all the praise. When Jesus arose from the dead on that glorious resurrection day and in the evening, he showed himself to his disciples in the upper room. And there he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said, thus it is written, that it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said to his disciples, ye are witnesses of these things, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Oh, dear friends, what effect has the preaching of Jesus had upon your heart? Has he brought about to you that godly repentance, that sorrow for sin, and the remission of your sins, that your sins are blotted out? Then, dear friends, you've come before the Lord in a certain way, haven't you? What do I mean by a certain way? Well, your prayer will be like that, or similar to that we have in Hosea. Oh, in the previous chapter 13, is it of Hosea, O Ephraim, thou hast destroyed thyself. That's what we do as we continue in our sins. But take with you words. Say unto him, the Lord, pour out your heart before him in saying, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Calves were the sacrifices, not the physical sacrifices, the calves of our lips, which come up from our heart in the confession of our sin, our need of forgiveness. There's the repentance, a turning about from those ways through which we destroy ourselves to the way that will give us eternal life. And we read there the answer. Oh, the Lord will pardon those iniquities. He will heal all backslidings. He will love them freely. Love them freely. Oh, dear friends, this call, it's still there today. It's here in the Word of God. It's Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What effect is this call? Oh, dear friends, we have it in several places of the Scripture. You know, to one who is affected through the teaching of their soul by the spirit of sin, Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, you with the broken heart, you that are weeping, you that are praying and pleading for mercy, come unto me. Ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is that rest? Physical rest? Pleasures here upon this earth all the days of your life? Plenty of money to buy everything with? No. That rest that comes from that other come. Come, let us reason together, saith your God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Call sinners to repentance, and there's the blessing behind it. The blessing which is before you, the blessing which encompassed it all. Will he not leave that blessing to a sinner who pleads for forgiveness? Yes. That blessing comes. There's pardon. It's sealed. There's peace with God. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they that come unto me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. All things are now theirs. They are mine, and I am theirs. And I will raise them up at the last day. And they shall dwell with me forevermore. Oh, Christ, the salvation of sinners, isn't he? And dear friends, it's the one thing needful. Without him we must perish. Oh, dear friends, let us think upon these things. Let, oh, cause these truths of the scriptures to dwell in our hearts. We are born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. Oh, but to be born again, born of the Spirit, born of God, and then our treasure is above. For whom Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, dear friends, I'll leave it with you, in case I take away the sacredness and the precious truth of Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. Made sin that sinners such as we may be found righteous in the sight of God. Made the righteousness of God in him. Then, dear friends, may we go away, even this day, rejoicing that it was for me. It was for me. Christ came, suffered, bled and died. The sound of his voice of love and mercy through Calvary. All this was done for you. For I came not to call the righteous, which we are not, but sinners to repentance. They that have ears to hear, let them hear, and fall before him, and receive the blessing. Amen.